Well, to all you mothers, happy Mother's Day. Just want to let you know that downstairs in the foyer area on the snack table, there are some plants. I forget what kind they're called, but I thought they were pretty, so I bought them. And there's little four packs, and there's one four pack for each mother. So feel free to take one when you go downstairs and have snack before you leave. Today, you make sure you take some plants with you. And those are my gift to you for this Mother's Day. This summer, I'm going to be at Big Sandy Camp for a few weeks. One of the weeks I'm going to be going up there is over family camp. That'll actually be the 3rd through the 6th. Now, I'll probably be back here for the 6th for church on the 6th, unless everybody here decides to go up to Big Sandy. And, you know, if everybody's there, then we'll stay there. But as of right now, I know for sure that JD and I are going to be up there. But Big Sandy has a pretty good deal as far as for you can tent, you can bring an RV, you can rent a room. If you rent a room, they have a package deal that includes all your meals. If you do bring a tent or an RV, you can purchase the meals through them or not. That's all up to you. If you're interested in it, check out their website or ask me. I'll have something in the bulletin next week about family camp. Just wanted to starting to lay some seeds, some groundwork for that. If you're interested, I had some people who were kind of interested. I think Ed and Peggy might be going up, and maybe a few other people for that time. Again, our rummage sale was yesterday, which Phyllis said. The interesting part was how many people helped, and probably people that, you know, nobody knows everybody who helped, because I know that there were people who came in and just did stuff that nobody else knew about. There were people who just showed up and said, well, is there something I can do? I said, yeah. And they would go do it. And then they'd leave. You know, and that's just the beautiful thing about the way the rummage sale went this year, is just there was a lot of help. There's a lot of people showed up and just did what they could when they could, and everything got done. Maybe not everything occurred the way we'd like it to do, but it all got done, and that's what's great. We did, even with the weather yesterday, it was kind of dreary and droopy and drippy and all those D's, and yet we had a fair amount of traffic, and as Phyllis said, that $900. Wow. You know, that we're going to be able to have a pretty nice bonfire. Hayride. We will have s'mores this year. We got money for chocolate and marshmallows. So that's just awesome. And again, people were ministered to, and it was just a good time. Again, I thank all those who did participate, just as Phyllis did. And I thank you, Phyllis. I think it's just a big thing. Every year you ask me, Pastor, I just don't know. And I said, well, pray about it. And every year you say, okay, and then you end up doing it. So I think it's just been a huge blessing. So, well, we're going to move into our chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. Since you all blessed me, and David, you blessed me by finishing up chapter 3 last week. Appreciate that. And I thank you all. It was just really a blessing to me to be able to just say, hey, I got to go, and that everybody handled everything here last week's service. That was just awesome for me and encouraging for me. Though it seems like the elders all got tired by it because they all left. Mike's the only elder left in town this week. The rest of them have all wandered off. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 1 through 7. It says, so then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ, and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. For who makes you different from anyone else? What did you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. We thank you for the opportunity we have to study for your word, to seek to know you better, to seek to follow you more closely, to seek to be your servants. Father, I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to anoint me to speak this morning, that no matter what I do here, your word would be communicated to your people who hear what I speak, what I preach, what I pray. Lord, let your Holy Spirit work in and through me, and might it bless each person who hears this word today. Father, we pray that your name would be lifted up and glorified, and that your people would be blessed. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul starts right off by saying, men ought to regard us as servants. The whole thing had been all about personality. We like this person, we like that person. Am I following Paul? Am I following Apollos? Am I following Cephas? I'm going to forget all the apostles. I'm just going to follow Christ. You know, people were getting in camps. They were all about following the individual instead of following the word. And Paul's coming in here and saying, regard us as servants. And the word that's used for servants here is the one that talks about being on the bottom tier or rowing. So this isn't the servant that's in charge. He's saying, first, regard us as just a worker. Now, another word that he uses later does lift him up to be a steward, which would be a servant that is over other servants, but still a servant. He said, look to us as servants. Regard us as servants of Christ. Servants of the Messiah. Now, when a servant comes and does something and then leaves, we might be polite, and in our society we would say thank you to the servant, but yet when we speak to the master of the servant, the one who sent them, we tell them thank you, because they're the one who sent the servant. And what the servant brings isn't the servant's, but it's the master's, whatever blessing that they're bringing. Paul wants us to think of him and Apollos as the servants of Christ. So he's saying, don't see us, but see our master. See the one who sent us. What we bring isn't from us, it's from him. Regard us as servants. Anytime a pastor gets up and starts pointing to himself, other than as an example, but tries to take the glory, they've overstepped their bounds. Because that's not what they're supposed to do. They're servants to God. There are some people, some out there who are all about being up front, and if they can't be up front, they're just not willing to do anything. They want to be the one that everybody's looking at, that everybody's giving accolades to. See, they're not acting like servants. They're trying to usurp the master's place. But sometimes people do that to servants. They say, oh, you're so great, you're so wonderful. Say, no, no, it wasn't me. It was the master back there that did it. It's like the actor who everybody applauds is great. Hey, it was the director. He's the one who gave me the direction. I didn't know what to do. He told me what to do, and it worked. Here we are, people of Corinth, being instructed, regard us as servants of the Christ. And we servants, then we need to prove faithful. Because they've been given a trust. See, those pastors who step out and try to take care of themselves, they're not being faithful. It's the ones like Paul here who's saying, I'm not the one that's important. It's Christ that's important. It's the Word. It's the good news. It's the gospel. It's not me. It's not Apollos. It's God who brings the increase. That's being faithful. He's not trying to usurp his place. He's not trying to change the message. He's not trying to do anything other than be a good servant who's laying out the blessing that his master sent him with and said, here it is. It's for you. Take it. The servants are not to be the focus. Who they serve is supposed to be the focus. That's what Paul's trying to drive home here. It's that first part. Now, once they've we see the servant, we see that they're going to be judged. Paul talks about being judged by man, judging himself, and being judged by God here. What's his attitude about being judged by men? Doesn't concern me. It's not my concern. It's not what's important to me. It's not important how you judge me. You may judge me rightly or wrongly, but it doesn't matter. That's not what's of my concern, because I'm the servant of Christ, and He's the one who's going to judge me. What about self? Judgment of self. The Greek were really big on that. Okay, one of their big philosophies was, man, you need to know yourself, you need to judge yourself before you can do anything else. That's taught a lot today yet. Greek philosophy in our world says, know yourself. You really have to know who you are before you can do anything else. There's an aspect of truth to that. But Paul's saying, the judging myself isn't what's of primary concern either. What's of primary concern to him is the Lord's judgment. He's the one who's going to judge him. He's going to be judged by God Himself. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. Anybody here like to do things right away, not wait for the deadline? Christmas presents would be open on December 1st, if we let the kids make up decide when are we going to open them? I don't want to wait for the appointed time. Do it now. Either that or we just want to put it off. No, we're not going to do that. I don't like that. Well, can we do it tomorrow if it's something that we're not looking forward to? And Paul's telling us it's going to come, and it's going to come at the appointed time. That's when the judgment will happen. And let's not try to judge beforehand. And afterhand, it's not going to matter. But when the Lord comes, He's going to judge. There's interesting things about what He's going to do when He judges. See, He's going to bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and expose the motives of men's heart. I don't know about you, but the whole concept of having the motives of my heart exposed is not always a comfortable one. All my motives are not pure. I know some of you are just aghast by that your pastor does not have pure motives all the time. Sometimes I'm selfish. Sometimes I'm downright just me kind of thing. Because why? Because I want it that way. Other times I've got other motives. Most of the time, I hope. I pray. That's what I try for. But we look at people's actions and we don't know what's going on in their heart. We can't truly judge them. But God, when He sheds light on what's in our hearts, He can look in our heart and say exactly why. Bruce, why did you do that? Oh, here it is, right there. Here's the motive of your heart revealed. So many times we think, you know, as long as we just have a good heart, a good motive, that's good enough. Or if our actions are good enough. The reality is that we have to not go beyond what is written also. If I'm not to go beyond what is written, I am to also do what is written. So when we're judged on, did I do what is written? What I'm commanded? Was the motive of my heart right? Did I do it because I'm coming from a works angle where I think if I get good enough, God will forgive me, God will love me? Or did I do it because I love my Lord and I just want to be obedient to Him? Now, if I'm saying I love the Lord, my desire is, oh, I love you, Lord, but I never listen to a word He says, I'm just a disobedient servant. Now, for each one, there's a judgment. The Lord's going to say, are you going to heaven? Yes or no? When you get to heaven, are you going to smell like smoke? Or are you going to show up with something that you built in your life that is eternal? These are all the things that Paul's been talking about for the last three previous chapters. He's bringing up all these things. Now he's laying them out. Don't go beyond what is written. That is one that we really have a problem with as human beings. Because we always want to go a little bit farther. Or, well, He said this was okay, so because that was okay, maybe we can say that this is going to be okay. Or, God said this, therefore, this must be it too. When God didn't speak on that topic, we try to sometimes speak for Him. Evangelical Christianity has a real bad history in that area. We've come up with things like, you know, can't dance, can't go, you know, can't drink, can't smoke, can't go to movies, can't, you know. They come up with, and you look in the scriptures and say, well, I can't find a single thing here that says that smoking is of the devil. It's not good for your body. True. But there's nothing there. You just don't find it. But yet there are some who say, who will say that that is scripture. I'd say it's, take care of your body. Do things that are right. But that's just not it. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to an individual and say, no, you can't be doing that. But just because the Holy Spirit speaks to one person doesn't mean that that goes to the rest of the world. Each of us, we have those things which are sin for some and not for all. Paul's going to talk later on that in 1 Corinthians. See, don't go beyond what is written. So when God says, stop, we stop. When we're judged, how faithful were we to what God has written? Did I get up here and preach God's word? Or did I get up here and preach the word of Bruce? Tell you what, if I preach the word of Bruce, I'm in serious trouble. I'm going to be judged severely. In fact, there's a higher judgment, higher level of accountability for those who are teaching, are in some position of authority. It's also a warning here about pride. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? They were taking pride in teachers. They were taking pride, oh, look what we've got. You know, God has blessed us. Why should I be proud that God blessed me? He gave me a gift. He gives gifts to everyone who's willing to receive it. Why should I... Now, should I be thankful to Him for the gift? Yes. But should I have pride in this, that somehow I earned it or I'm better because I got the gift? No. And that's what they were doing. And that's what we're not supposed to do. Don't say, we are so much better here in our little church because, well, God has blessed us. Unlike, say, maybe that church over in Asia, you know, where the pastor got arrested and the people were chased out. Obviously, we're better Christians because we're not being persecuted in that manner. Wrong. We've got no right to stand and take credit for that. That's just, God has blessed us by putting us in an area where we don't have that persecution. Remember that God is the one who's blessed us, not that we did it. He did it. And it's not because we're somehow better. It's just because He said, okay, you're going to be over here, you're going to do this. You over here, you're going to do what we over here, and this is what's going to happen. Because God is God. What this boils down to is we need to recognize that those who stand up front aren't the ones that we're following. They're just servants. And that God is going to judge them and us at the appointed time. And the question is going to be asked, did you follow my word? Did you do what I directed you to do? Did you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Did you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, with all your strength? I think I got them in the wrong order, but I think that's all of them. And then did you love others? That's what God wrote. We're going to be judged by how well we follow it. Were we faithful servants? Or were we unfaithful? Was I faithful or unfaithful? You may be able to look out there from there and judge me. I may be able to look from here and judge you. I may or may not be right. I don't know. You don't know. Only God's going to be able to know, because only He can illuminate the dark spots of our heart and see what our true motivations are, why we did what we did, and why we didn't do some of the things that we didn't do. And did we truly do the best that we could? Or did we just get along? Try to coast. Were we good servants, faithful, with the trust that the Lord gave us? Or were we poor servants? Like the bottom rower who just goes through the motions but isn't really putting any power in that stroke and just letting everybody else pull him along. Or is he the bottom rower who's giving it everything he's got? That's what the Lord wants for us. That's what He's going to judge us for in His time. That is, in that day which we read up in Revelations, that day which we read about back in the Old Testament, that day which Christ speaks about as He walked this earth. The day is coming where we will be judged. When we're judged, it's going to be the Lord judging us that counts. It's not, well, as Paul said here, I did not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. See, it's not Paul judging himself or his conscience being clear that he's trying his hardest that makes him innocent. It's the blood of Christ that makes him innocent of his sin. The salvation that's paid for. And are we trusting in that? Or are we trusting in the people? Are we trusting in the one who sent the servant? Or are we trusting the servants? Trust the master. Don't trust the servant. Don't put your trust there. Put your trust in the master. The one who makes us innocent. The one who shed his blood on the cross. Let's remember how God blessed us. By providing us with a way out of sin and into eternal life. And might we eagerly await that day. Because we worked as servants of the Christ. Let's pray. Father, You did come and walk this earth as the Son. And as Jesus, Messiah, You gave Your life on the cross. You shed Your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, as we go forth, each one a servant of the living God. Lord, might we never seek to usurp your place. Lord, might we never seek to put somebody else in your place and follow a servant. Instead, might we always follow you and your message. Lord, might we do what it is you've commanded us to do in your word, to love you, to love one another, and to share that love with those who don't know it. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close. We'll be singing.